Okay, we're learning an Emunah, the Garden of Faith by Rav Arash. Hebrew version, page 54. Learning about the power of Emunah to deal with life's problems. Rav Arash writes as follows: when a person strengthens himself in Emunah through those tests and difficult situations, that means that he believes they come from Hashkacha. They come directly from Hashem. And they don't come from Mikra, circumstance.
Nature, Mother Nature.
Right, and not Derech HaTev either, not nature. Through Pone Hashem, he turns to Hashem. Then, through Be'gvaot HaHizkuto, through the fact that he strengthens himself in Emunah, he goes through all of these difficulties with success. And not only that, he also saves himself suffering of this world. And not only that, but he builds himself and enriches his spirit. And the main thing is that he merits through this to come to know Hashem, which is the purpose for which he came into the world. Therefore, this is the main purpose of all the suffering of this world, meaning to bring close those who are far away. Right, so a lot of things there. Let's just recap. This world has a purpose to get to know Hashem. That's the purpose Hashem made the world. For us to get to know Him in this world. How do we do that? Well, unfortunately, the primary way that we do that is through experiencing suffering. Okay, it's the suffering which brings us closer to Hashem, which is not fun. And maybe you wouldn't have picked it, and I would have picked it. Wouldn't have picked it if we were the creator of the world, but we're not, right? And He knows better than us. So He knew that that's what we needed, and therefore that's how we get close to Him. Now, being that that's a given, you can't change it. So you have to work with it. Can't change the rules. If you want to get closer to Hashem, you want to fulfill your purpose in this world, you're going to have to suffer somehow. You're going to have to experience suffering. However, with Emunah, we don't have to experience suffering, because we know that suffering only comes from a lack of da'at. If we have da'at, we have awareness of Hashem, we have Emunah, and there's no suffering because we know it's from Hashem, and it's not suffering anymore. Just it's still a difficult test, but it's not suffering in the same way. This is what he now brings a passage from Sichot Aran. Sichot Aran is one of the books of Rabbi Nachman. Sichot, the conversations of Ran. Ran is the initials of Rabbi Nachman. Ran. Sichot Aran. Right? The conversation, right? It's additional stuff that Rav Natan and other students, but mostly Rav Natan, wrote down that they remembered from things that the Rav had said. Anyway, what does he say over there? So over there he quotes Sichot Aran. He says like this: Mishinesh la Emunah chayav chayim. A person who has Emunah, his life is life. He lives life. Behu mevale yemei chayav betov tamid. He fills his life with good always. Kishel lech la rak kuari. Because when things are going for him, good. Then bevadai tovlof, then for sure it's good for him. And even when it's not that way, meaning things aren't going okay, and he's got suffering, has vishalom. So to then, it's also tov, it's also good, right? Because he is certain that even though he's suffering, etc. Hashem will have mercy on him, and it will all come good. Right? Ki me'achasha komi tayyibarach b'vaday hakol l'tovah. Because since everything is from Hashem, then for sure everything is good. But someone who does not have emunah, his life is not life at all. Because as soon as something difficult happens to him, his life is, he has no life, right? Because he has nothing to comfort himself with, since he's got no emunah at all, and he has no light life from it, and no good. Because he goes, he lives his life without Hashem, and without the fact that Hashem has got hashkacha pratit on him, and he's in a very poor position. But through emuna, matov v'yafeh achiyot shelo, how good is his life, etc. So he brings that from Sichot Aran. So he just brings from Sichot Aran here, Rabbi Nachman just explaining the person without emuna, his life's not life. Right, because he still has to suffer the sufferings. No one gets away with it. So, even though it might look from the outside that everyone puts on a good face, and I know I've got friends, I've got family back home, they never heard of Rabbi Nachman, they don't even know what the word emunah means, and they're doing fine. Right? It's they're not. What they're doing fine at, they're doing really good at putting on a good show, putting on a mask. Right? And person puts on a mask so much they don't even know that they're suffering. Like you try and explain to them, but this isn't like you're not enjoying this. Oh no, everything might. They've even convinced themselves, right, that they're stop. We all have part of all of this stuff within us too. Right, but it just depends what degree we take it. Right, behind a mask where there's nothing real. There's no reality. There's no reality with their kids. There's no reality with their spouses. They're living in tov, bal cuckoo land. Chayim b'seret, as they say around here. Right. And everyone is taking drugs to take away the pain, and some are mamash hard drugs, and some are soft drugs, including coffee, chocolate, movies, and everything else to take away the pain, right? To take away the tough. We do the same. I do the same, right? Strong cup of coffee in the morning. It's a tough morning. You have a time, right? If it's really bad, go grab a bowl of chocolate. Right? Because it's difficult. You need something to sweeten the difficulty. It's not so easy to get a life is.
Sugar, fat, and salt.
Right?
It's not like a box of chocolate.
It's not, but we have to go. A person who wants to grow, develop his emunah, has to go through that pain barrier, so to speak. Right? Meaning what? Meaning to accept the suffering and to know it comes from God, and not try and switch it off. Right? I'm having a difficult time now. Right? I'm dealing with. Whatever problem a person wants to mention. Right? Can be something. Right? He's got a financial issue. He just got a bill in. His wife just got angry at him and shouted at him. Whatever it is, I'm now not feeling good. Now there's one of two ways I can do with it. I can try and make the pain go away by taking some form of drug, whatever it is, to just switch it off. If it's, I don't know, I go a bar of chocolate, if it's a chocolate ice cream, or somebody might...
You like chocolate, huh?
I do, but I'm trying to pick stuff which is not too... right? Other people might surf the internet, or whatever, go have a beer, whatever it is, to make the pain go away. But I haven't dealt with the problem, and I haven't advanced my emunah. My emunah is really to take the heat. This is painful. to feel that pain and to work it through with Hashem.
Take it to the field.
Take it to the field. I'm in pain right now, Hashem. And I know this is from you, and I know this is for my good, and I'm still in pain, and I need you to help me too. I can't deal with this, right? And I need to talk it out with him. And then, if I can do that, then that pain goes away. It goes away because the pain's gone away. I haven't covered it up. I haven't put a beer on top of it or something, and it's not gone away. It's still there. Still there hiding in my subconscious. Still there as a repressed emotion that's going to come out at some point and bite me in the... Right? That it's not going to go away and it's going to get bigger and etc, etc. But in order to do that, I've got to take the difficult option of not... Of facing it, dealing with it, accepting it. And that's not easy to do. I can only accept that with Emunah, because Emunah, if I don't use any other foreign substance, I need something to deal with this pain. I can't just let it sit there and eat away at me. You know, I may as well go and grab whatever limited form of comfort I can have, let's call it a donut, right, it's better than sitting there, it's better than sitting there in pain with no way of getting out of it. But I do have a way. I have Hashem, right? And that's what chocolate
donut.
Obviously, I mean, it goes without saying
chocolate
sprinkles. And that's right, so that's living my emunah in practice. I'm going to take my pain and I'm going to give it back to God. Hashem, this pain is from you. Hashem, you're the one who's going to have to make it better. Right? And that's... Then I grow. Because now, when he does, that Hashem, take away that pain, then that pain can't hurt me anymore. If I just try and cover it up with a beer, and every time that same thing happens, well, it hasn't gone away, so I just have to have another beer, or stronger beer, or... vodka, whiskey, top, and each time I need to try and find it, it doesn't go away. But if I do it with Hashem, it's now gone away. Can't get me anymore. I've dealt with that issue. That issue doesn't hurt me anymore. Right? So I'm now growing. I'm now top. I might have another issue to face, but I'm now growing. I'm now on a higher level. I have to take that one to Hashem as well, and so on and so on. The battle in our day and age is that we have so many now options not to go to Hashem. There's so many, the Yetzer Hara has so many toys, most of them electronic, right? And also the, not only that, but the ease of junk food and the availability of junk food and the unfortunate positive effect that has on a person's temporal mood, right, means that someone can grab a piece of junk food and make it go away, right, for very cheap cost, right, and can of Coke, bag of chips, whatever,
chocolate milk,
nice, I like it, very good, chocolate milk, very good,
sugar, fat, and salt,
right, and all those things are instantly available to us, right. In the past, when there was like the local Makolet, if you're lucky, had milk, maybe a bit of egg and cheese, right? And that's probably what it had, and you had to walk 4 hours that way to go get it. So it wasn't an availability. You could just like put your hand in the fridge and take out, right? So any issues you had to find another way of dealing with it, right? Can't just... So we have, unfortunately, the luxury of all the other options.
There's so much you don't know what to get, so
right? Right, you can stand in the store going, which right, which drug am I going to pick today? Well, that one looks nice. This one's colourful. This one, right? That's another problem, right? Indecisiveness. So we have a lot of what to work with, right? Heard if any of you have good Hebrew, good enough, and then it's very highly recommended to listen to Offer Areas. He speaks here on a Monday evening tonight. Bezrat Hashem, be here. Anyway, I was listening to one of his CDs this morning, talking about our generation. He's a Talmud of Rav Berland, like contemporary of Rav Arush.
Rav What time did you have a shiur?
No, it's like 9:30. Give it about 9:30 starts. 9 to 9:30. So he starts and lasts for about an hour.
Midnight.
Yeah. It's packed. He's an excellent speaker. He's very why he's different than Rav Arash. Rav Arash brings the Rabbi Nachman's Torah into very simple terms that everyone can understand. Go out to the field, speak to Hashem. Everything's good. There's no right. Very, and that's his teaching, and can't fault it. But Rav Arias speaks very much about the hashkot, the thinking and the workings of Brezer's brother thought, and what this means, and compared it to Kabbalah, and this, and it's more of an intellectually stimulating shiur. And Rav Arash shiur just tells you straight what you need to know, just right, and it's exactly the advice you need. But it's not such an intellectual shiur. Rav Arash is very brings a lot of sources, a lot of different. He's very learned in Kabbalah and different writings of the Ari and different ideas about Gilgulim. Anyway, he was listening to a tape this morning, and a bit of it anyway. And he was saying over there that that where we are now in this generation is that we're in the. He explained where the generations come from, generation of the flood, the stuff we learned about Adam HaRishon and the 130 years, and all different ideas, but we haven't really got time now to go into them. But basically, the upshot being that we're the final generations, are just what's left over. The stuff that couldn't get fixed before is now here. That's us. Right? Everything that could have got fixed. And everything that was was still not fixed after 6,000 years, right? Well, you're looking at it, right? So don't be surprised when we find that life's tough. Right, and we don't know what to do with ourselves, and we're up and down, and and who's ever going to fix me? I'm like, I'm trying, I've fallen, trying to have fallen. I'm in despair, I'm sad, I'm yush, I've given up. I get up, I've given up again. I get up for 5 minutes. I get up, go right. It's because we're very tough souls. Right, and we've got a very hard ticket because we didn't get fixed yet. So it's not easy, right? Because if it would have been easy, we would have fixed it in a previous time, right? So now, all the stuff we have to go to is Hashem is like, well, now you're gonna get finished one way or another, right? We're gonna finish you off, right? We're gonna finish the tikkunim.
What does that mean, one way or the other?
Meaning, I have to go through what I need to go through to fix my soul. Right, whether I like it or not. So you can either enjoy it, or you're going to get dragged kicking and screaming to where you right. Suffering is also a form of tikkun. It's not a fun one. It's also a form of tikkun, right? So, but either way, we're all getting there. Hashem wants us. It's for our good, right? But at the end of the day, we're going to be fixed, one way or another. If we're aware of it, we have a choice of which way we get there, the easy way or the hard way.
How do you explain people that come back? People don't finish their tikkun.
Exactly. That's why
people are not working on themselves.
Exactly. We didn't make the right choices previously, and now we hopefully will.
He said, "This is the last."
He said, "This is the last generation," and then he connected them, and then he changed himself and said, "These are the last generations." That's why those were his words. Fred.
So you're saying that we have suffering, and that brings us to talk to Hashem. The suffering, I don't know what it is, up to you, Hashem, and then the suffering will abate.
Yes.
Now my question is, let's say our suffering is a function of an avera, and we don't know what it is, and we can keep on talking to Hashem, but unless we do a repair, perhaps, Hashem may still keep on hitting us over the head until we, you know, are able to do some sort of tikkun. Is that a correct statement? I'm asking.
It seems to be look, we can say as follows. The Gemara tells us that Hashem lo ba betrunya. Hashem doesn't come with, so to speak, with claims against a person, right? Meaning that Hashem doesn't bring a person to a place that he can't deal with. Hashem's not going to give us punishment that we have no way of fixing, because who knew that that's what you wanted, right? Don't worry about that, right? He's going to give us every opportunity for a person who wants to know. People who don't want to know, so they're going to get hit on the head because they're, leave me alone, I'm not interested, and get hit on the head until they wake up and say, alright, what do you want from me? But once you turn around and say, okay, what do you want from me, then Hashem is all loving, all merciful, all kindness, therefore has to fit in with that paradigm. It can't be outside the box.
In terms of decisiveness, for making decisiveness, it's a choice of mitzvahs, doing a chutzah, doing a shabbat, to do Torah, and you have all the, in terms of going forward, in terms of, you don't, if the vessel is not at a point where you have access to the light, clearly see the MS, it's at a higher level that it's clear to you, in terms of sometimes you have many, the different options. Any insights in terms of Amunah with decisiveness and trying to go forward in terms of sometimes as the day goes where you can't get out to the field and discuss it for a couple of hours, and somebody needs a decision now, which way do you go?
It seems to me that our job in this world, right, and apart from a few people, our job in this world is not particularly Torah and mitzvahs. Right? Certainly from what my reading of Rav Arish, that the main job in this world of a person is to work on his midot, right? Yeah. Right? Torah mitzvahs are a way of doing that. What's that mean? It means it doesn't really matter what Torah or what mitzvahs I do. Right? Whatever is in front of me and is available to me to do that I have availability for and I have the talent and the ability to do. So I'm going to achieve my tikkun through that. I don't need, generally speaking, there may be few individuals that doesn't apply, they have to do a specific, they came down in the world to do a specific mitzvah, and once they do that mitzvah they've now fixed themselves. But finally, if that's the case, Hashem's going to put that in front of them, right? If a person needs to make aliyah, to make their tikkun, and somewhere, and Hashem sticks them in, I know, middle of New Zealand, to a non-Jewish colony, I know, that has never even heard of Israel and is not interested, so it's not going to be, right, because then he can't do his tikkun. It has to be something that Hashem can give you. So Hashem is going to give us whatever we need. It's going to be there and available to us. And mostly our tikkun is what is ever in front of our face. Right, a person, right, I'm not really sure, but it seems to be quite likely that the majority of a man's tikkun is probably at home with his wife. And he doesn't have to worry about going and learning and then doing this mitzvah and doing finding this way and learning the whole shulchan or backwards. If he's just
at home,
kind to his wife, good to his kids, that whatever Hashem's put in front of him, and for someone who's not married, it's whatever Hashem's put in front of you. It's nothing that I need to go and search out. It's not like a quest for the Holy Grail. I need to go and find where my tikkun is, and it's on a hill in the middle of some country, right? And over there, I'm going to achieve what I came here to achieve. No, it's tachlis. It's here and now. Whatever's, and if I do whatever is in front of me, Hashem's going to lead me in wherever I need to be. Right? The fact that I'm sitting here in Chut Shel Chesed, because Hashem wanted me to be here in Chut Shel Chesed. He didn't put me here directly, right? Previous to this, I had to do this, I had to do that, choose that, read this book, read that book. I have to make this decision, make that decision. Fine. So if Hashem wanted me here, so he's got a place, he's got a way to lead me to wherever he's going to lead me. But 10 years ago, I'm sitting there thinking, you know what, I think I need to get to Chut Shel Chesed, and especially to give Shurim there or Gan Emunah. Right, that's my ticket. No idea. I'm just sitting there doing whatever I'm doing. Right, Hashem is going to take me to wherever, but just simply by doing what I'm doing in front of me. I don't have great plans. I've got no plans for tomorrow. Right? Wherever I need to be for my tikkun, that's his problem, I'm not.
Or sometimes you're stuck and you have to, like me for example, I pray for a lot of hours Hashem should guide me to my purpose in life, and here I am. So this is a good.
So whatever it is, Nachum, whatever it is, that is. So your prayers have got answered. This is your ticket, right? Even though it doesn't look like, it might not look like major, but nothing's happened, right? You did nothing. I didn't get the job at ICI. I didn't become Rosh Hashiva. How can this be my tikkun? I'm doing exactly what I was doing. Well, because that's your tikkun, right? Shem, show me what you want to be doing. Yeah, that's it.
So the focus would be on the universe, happiness, holiness, humility.
Yeah. All those things, right? And whatever specific other mitzvahs Hashem wants me to do, he's gonna be right. Someone's gonna knock on your door and say, "Do you mind helping us?" I know. With whatever, if he wants you to do something different, because if you're open, that's what you want. The way a person wants to go, they lead him. If I want to fix myself, I want to make my tikkun the way I want to go, that's the way they're going to lead me, right. So that's what Hashem's going to do. That's what's going to be put in my path. And even if I don't want, it's still going to be tough. Free choice, but one way or another, Hashem wants, you know, all of them Hashem wants to be there and to be fixed. It's brought in the Sefer Zohar. Kama chavivim Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How loved are Am Yisrael before Hashem? Shu rotzeh lochiach lohicham b'derech kisharai. He wants to reprove them, so to speak. Whether he wants to rebuke very strong. He wants to guide them and put them on the right path. Like a father who loves his son, and through his love, with his stick, so to speak, his scepter in his hand, he guides them on the right path, that they don't go to the right or to the left. This is what it means in the Torah: Ki atasha yahav Hashem yochiach. The one who Hashem loves, He reproves. Uka'av ben Yosef, like a father who loves his son, etc. Right? The one who Hashem doesn't love, or even, so to speak, hates, then he removes from him his tochacha, his reproof, his rebuke, and he removes from him his sharvit, his scepter, his... And kamashonah, that's what the Zohar says. Right, so basically, we haven't got a lot of time, only a few minutes, to like discuss this point. Rav Arush now explains what that means, but in a nutshell, what have we just seen? We've just seen the Zohar brings to the fact that a father who loves his son wants to make sure his son stays on the right path. And a father who loves his son doesn't let him go off and do what he likes, so to speak. Shem is like that, right? We see it as a stick, right? Because nobody likes receiving tochacha. But it's for our own good, because he loves us. And therefore, he's putting us on the right path. He doesn't want us to stray too far. And he wants us to know when we're not on the right path. And we know when we're not on the right path because we get a wake-up call. It's not fun. And the opposite is true, right? If Hashem didn't give us that wake-up call, then He wouldn't be a loving Father. Tov. Hashorish kol lekol asurim hu she'adam eino yodeh shehu b'sof hakol nivra. The root of all suffering comes from the fact that a person doesn't know. That at the end of the day, he is a creature, created being that's been sent to this world for shlichut, for a reason, and he's not bala bayit. He's not the owner. He's not in charge, and all the more so, he's not in charge of the entire world. We're not in charge. We're sent here by the boss, and the boss gave us shlichut. He gave us rules. Gave us the Torah, and he expects us to do a job when we're down here, and we're not in charge. We like to think we're in charge of ourselves. Some people like to think they're in charge of the entire world, certainly anyone else around them on the road, right? But we're not, right? We're not even in charge of it, right? We're a messenger on shlichut, the guy who you send on shlichut is not entitled to decide to go off and visit Vegas on the way to taking the letter to the wherever he's meant in New York and be on that. On the way, I just stopped by Vegas and go on a job. No, you're not allowed to do that. You've got a job. There were rules. I once broke that. just remembered now. They have something in the States. They still have it called driveaway. It's called driveaway. You drive a car. Drive cars for there's like companies that need their cars, like banks and things like that. People who are like traveling from New York to Miami or whatever, and they want their car, like, or their company cars. And anyway, so what do? They get people to drive them down. So I was there with a few friends in America, and we were in Boston. We wanted to go to Miami, so we found a driveaway car, and you had to drive it. We had like 5 days to get it to Miami, and you could only drive it certain hours, like during the daytime hours. And only the guy who was the set driver, and you had to just go from the straight path and not go speed and whatever. So we broke all those rules, right? In a day and a half, we took it in turns, flat out, drove down from Boston to Miami, and then spent the next 3 or 4 days enjoying the car and driving it, right?
Until
we had to...
you went straight to the room.
Yeah. And then we... So... That's not what we're meant to do. Like, don't learn from this story. This is a story of not what to do. Right?
But you're not the only one. They've actually made movies about that.
We probably could have made a movie too. But anyway, the thing is, we have to try and avoid that. Right? Our suffering starts when we forget that we're on shlichut, and we think we're balabayit, and we say, oh, this looks nice. Let's go for a ride over here. Let's go for a wander over there, see what's going on. Let's test this out. And we break the rules and the framework that our Baal HaBayit gave us. He gave us them for a good reason. Right, as well. We sometimes think that we know better. Right, I know Hashem said no, but it's okay. Trust me, I think I know better for myself than he knows. He doesn't. He knows better than us. So he gave them the rules for a good reason. And there, some of them are difficult rules to keep. They're not easy to keep. Right? But we're on shlichut. So, Bezrat Hashem, we should all remember until tomorrow when we can continue Bezrat Hashem that we are here on shlichut for the Baal HaBayit and we're not in control.